It's Berlin briefing time, and just minutes before we recorded this episode, the government finally found a compromise on how Germany's return to military conscription will look like, just in time for the 70th birthday of Germany's armed forces, the Bundeswehr. Spoiler alert, it's all men and all voluntary for now. Nina Hase is with us in the studio. We just came back from those briefings and those statements. Also here is Marcel Bornart, Lieutenant Colonel and Deputy Leader of the German Armed Forces Association. And down the line, we're joined by Quentin Gantner, the Speaker of the Association of Pupils here in Germany, so those who will actually be affected. But I want to start with you, Nina, because just after this was announced, you put the question to the German Defense Minister, Boris Pistorius, how they will proceed and what signal this is going to send abroad. Let's just take a quick listen.
The objective is in summer 27 to be ready to muster an entire year of young men. That's in the first place. And the second place is indeed everybody is watching what we are doing. I am in close contact with Sébastien Lecornu and his successor, and of course with UK and with other countries, and they all see, they're all watching what we are doing.
And our new model of conscription is quite modern. It is very modern, and it might be able to be an example for other countries too. I don't know, but it might be.
So Nina, very self-confident. Can this be an example for other countries? How modern is it? And what exactly does it entail? Just walk us through it.
Yeah. Now, the German Defense Minister, I think, can proudly speak of a big day that is definitely a breakthrough for him. It is very similar to the proposal that he's been trying to push through for a long time now. So now we've got a political agreement that basically says from January the 1st next year, all 18-year-olds will receive a questionnaire that they have to fill in, much like in Sweden. It's mandatory for the men to reply and essentially also say whether or not they're interested in joining the army. And then they are going to work on a way to rebuild all the infrastructure to muster an entire generation. So a generation of 18-year-olds. We've got some 300,000, roughly, 18-year-old men in this country. And Boris Pistorius wants to have some 3,000 to 5,000 more recruits every year. And once those installations are back in place, every 18-year-old will have to go again and undergo through all these tests. And, you know, there's also in this law, they're talking about how they want to make the Bundeswehr more attractive. Marcel can tell us more about just how attractive it is at the moment, you know, whether it's going to work. But they're essentially offering 2,600 euros per month to an 18-year-old young German man who then doesn't have to pay for accommodation, who also maybe gets a cheaper driving license if he says, OK, I'll stay with the Bundeswehr for longer than 1 year. All of these things are now going to be in that law that we're expecting to be passed in Parliament in December in the first week. But of course, there's also talk, what if these 3,000 to 5,000 active soldiers, the voluntaries, people are not going to turn up? So there are fallback options that they are discussing, but they have made a conscious decision, and that is not something that the Conservatives wanted, to keep that debate out of the current law. They're saying, let's then look at the numbers first and see whether we can work with the volunteers. And once Minister Pistorius puts forward numbers and says, look, this is not enough to get us back to a strength of 260,000 active soldiers in the Bundeswehr, which is something that Pistorius says he needs by 2035, and that is 80,000 more than we have, so quite a big jump. Plus, he says he needs 200,000 reservists, and we have how many? 70,000.
That's a quite optimistic number. Yeah. We think actually as an association it's more about 50,000 or 60,000.
So
yeah. So the ones that are like monitored and registered, yeah, there are more, but we actually don't know how their physical state is and how their motivation is actually. So it's only between 50 and 60,000 where we can really say, hey, they are more or less in the system. We know where they live. We know how they are qualified. And we could, let's say, we could let them into the army or take them into the army quite soon.
Okay, so we have the basics here. There are two aspects to this. First of all, there's the need to build up the German Bundeswehr.
Definitely.
And then there's the whole question of capacity of the Bundeswehr to actually take in people. Because we also learned from the defense minister today, Marcel, that you can't take everybody who's applying. I mean, you don't want everybody who's applying, mm-hmm. but there's that the Bundeswehr is lacking the capacity to take people in. True. So how can you avoid this being over capacity from day one?
So Boris Pistorius says that in the next year, between 3,000 and 5,000 additional soldiers will be able to join the army. Actually, we as an association think that it could be a little more, because you can find kind of, I don't know, yeah, if you don't have the barracks and the infrastructure, it should just go out of the barracks and rent something, or take containers and put soldiers in there at least for a while until you were able to build these things up. And it's necessary, as you said, we need 260,000 active soldiers in 2035. And we see what Russia is doing, and we need to show them with a, let's say, deterrence, you know, with a serious deterrence, that the risk to attack NATO is just too high for them. So we think we have to grow up very fast. This is a first step. It's a compromise, but we can really be very positive. So one day after our birthday, we think it's quite a nice present. And we have to start on January the 1st. That's important.
Yeah. Just one aspect that I think we also have to discuss, especially in this episode, is the very tricky part that this is only going to apply to men, right? Because of our constitution.
We'll get to that. Let's bring
exactly.
in Quentin.
Just so that we don't forget.
Because you're representing the some 700,000 people who every year turn 18, roundabout, here in Germany, and who are the potential pool of people who will in future get male. Anyone who is born after the 1st of January 2008 will now have a letter in the post asking them to respond, and men will have to. How has this debate and this outcome felt to you? A bit like just now, old people talking over your head and then finally asking for an answer? Or how's this all going down with the young people?
He's very familiar with that setting.
So first of all, we criticized a lot the process of designing this bill. You can't, on the one hand side, ask young people to take responsibility and join military forces and do their service, but on the other hand side, not be willing to communicate with them, not be willing to ask them, how is it possible for us to make the service in the army or elsewhere as attractive so that young people want to join the military service. So this was a big mistake that this didn't happen in the first place before the bill passed the cabinet. And now we were heard at least for a bit in the parliamentary process, and also had an appointment with Secretary Pistorius, Secretary of Defense Pistorius. But in the end of the day, we as Bundesschüler Conference, we never criticized that there's a service at all. And we don't have a position on whether it has to be a conscription or not. We want to take responsibility, and I think I can speak for millions of young Germans that actually want to contribute to their country and say, okay, we want to make sure that this country also works in the next decades, not just for now. So this isn't the question. The question is whether this government also puts focus on young people and says, okay, on the one hand side, you take responsibility for your country, and on the other hand side, we as a government take responsibility for you. We make sure that you grow up in schools that work, that are functional, that are not failing every study there is in comparison to other countries. So because Germany's education is falling back intensely if you compare it to other nations. And we're also investing in your mental health. We're in the middle of the crisis of mental health among adolescents and young people. Those aren't the ones we need for the service in the army. We need young people that are resilient, that are motivated to join the forces, and not young people that are struggling with depressions, anxiety, or being lonely. So I'm very disappointed about this compromise this morning, because this would have been the chance to present the public, we are also doing something in favor of young people. We are, on the one hand side, doing this, passing this bill, but on the other hand side, are proposing a big offensive to support young people. And this just didn't happen. And this is the reason we're criticizing this compromise, because this would have been the chance to also say, okay, we make reforms and investments into young people. Yeah.
Marcel, I would like to let you respond to that.
Global business isn't just charts and suits.
It's a messy, unpredictable soap opera set on a global stage.
Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Cassandra.
If you think the economy is boring, you've been watching the wrong show.
In our weekly podcast, The Dip, we'll help you connect the dots.
That's DW's The Dip, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so Quentin and I, we had at least a short conversation. And of course, I saw what he did in the last weeks online and on TV, etc., and media in general. So I think what we can learn from the last weeks and months is that definitely such an discussion and debate has to be on a broad scale. Yeah, so it's, I think there are also some politicians who learned that we have to include young people just in the discussion. And when I talked to Quentin at the beginning of the week, personally, I was more or less convinced that he's against the conscription. And he said, hey, don't get me wrong, or don't get us as young people wrong. What we want is that you just let us know that you are transparent, that you inform us about what you are doing, and that you just get onto our level and discuss with us. So get into schools, yeah, talk to people, educate, inform, and then, as he said, people can make their decision. I mean, they can make their voluntary decision now. Probably it's in the next steps. It's also possible that you force some of them to join the army against their will. That could happen. But then, as a soldier, I say the security situation is that serious that this is something that is definitely necessary.
I think it's also a good point to stress that there has been so much debate about voluntary conscription and a duty to serve. But if there was to be a war, any male between 18 and 60 can be drafted anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is because the debate here in Germany, because Germany has this very peculiar relationship with its own military, which of course is rooted in Germany's dark Nazi past,
yes,
and the role of the military, obviously, there's an inherent suspicion of the military.
But there's also a suspicion of young people. I mean, to be fair, you know, young people don't really have a lobby. We're looking at the demographics in Germany. It's an aging population and voters are getting older. So, of course, who do the political parties listen to more? It is definitely those who have a lot of time, you know, the pensioners. I'm not saying that their opinion is not valid or that they don't have any points, but they're just more of them.
They want to be part of the discussion.
And they want to be part of the discussion.
I have to interrupt at that point. Actually, they have a lobby. It's what we do as a Bundesschüler Conference, as representatives.
But it's a smaller one, Quentin.
Yeah, of course. Of course. We have the issue that that so many pupils are not even allowed to vote.
Yeah.
And just the fact that they are not allowed to vote is visible if you go through schools in Germany.
Yeah.
So we have these issues that our problems are not tackled because it's just not interesting out of a perspective of just power and the reality of elections, that it's just not interesting to focus on young people. But in the end of the day, and this is the thing I'm trying to say, you need us. You need us to be the strong Democrats that fight for the country and make sure that there's security, not just for now, but also in the next decades. So there's no way around including young people, because it might be not too interesting for the next election, but it will be definitely for the problems in the future, in the next decades, and also for the elections after the proximate ones. So I'm trying to explain everybody, you need us, even though it's not too interesting to focus on us for one election. In the long run, there's no way around us. And there's also a development that is frightening. Young people are not feeling heard from the government. And this is something I'm rejecting by everything I have. But young people are not feeling heard by the government and then turn to the right wing or the left wing, what we have seen in the past election, which is a scenario or a development that has to make everybody have stomach ache in the government, saying, okay, we have to do something against that. This is a development that is extremely, extremely risky for our society. And I don't think they have that on the agenda currently. It's just not too interesting, but we're trying to change that as a good lobby for young people.
And I just want to go on the record by saying, by promising that we will do an episode on the demographics, because I can feel that coming up again sometime very soon.
It's the next big thing.
Yeah.
So we have just compromised on the conscription and the military and the service in the army. And the next big thing where the coalition is having trouble is the social thing on pensions.
Yeah, pension reform.
So but that, the pension this is, reforms. So we, we'll you get have there. To. You have to definitely.
Yeah, you will get there, but not on this episode.
But I hope that this is the next big thing, because what we see on the eastern flank of Europe, there could be another big thing, and this is something that overrules everything else. And this is something that I really like to emphasize. Of course, we can talk about social things in our country and education, all important stuff. But if you have a war, nothing else matters anymore. This is what we see in Ukraine. Of course, there is a kind of, there are parts of the country where life is more or less normal. You cannot imagine this. But when you have a lot of soldiers who are involved into a war, and all your, I don't know, all your industry and all your political decisions are related to this war, everything else becomes very unimportant. And that's why I think this has to be the first priority. I know that's hard, and I really can imagine something more or something nicer. Yeah, also for me and my private and my personal, also my professional life. But it's a very serious situation that we see in Ukraine, and NATO countries are threatened by Russia.
And I think that is definitely something where Germany is trying to adapt the, you know, the sort of the pragmatism. Who would we need if, say, we were overrun by a situation, you know, or if the Americans withdrew? It doesn't just have to be Russia. How would we make sure that the army can actually be able to fight? And on the other hand, you've got that idea of our army being a parliamentary army with strong civic commitment.
So actually, I want just very short. There are some soldiers, at least. Yeah, you cannot say a lot of soldiers anymore, I guess. But we were, for 30 years, we were on out-of-area missions and employments abroad. And there was at least a phase between 2008 and 2013 where German soldiers really were into combat in Afghanistan. Yeah. So, but a lot of these soldiers are now a little older, left army probably, or will not be the ones who are on front lines. Our experience concerning real combat is quite low, as it is low in other European countries. So, and this is,
yeah, fortunately,
you,
right?
Yeah, which is a nice thing. But if you imagine now, and this is, I don't know, don't get me wrong, the Russian armed forces have a lot of experience, and that makes them stronger. That's a big pro to have this combat experience in your army, because it gives you a lot of, we call it, fighting power. And we talk about it theoretically. Of course, soldiers do their trainings and their smaller missions, but it's not a big scale war that we are fighting now, thanks God. But we have to prepare for that. And one last point, as you mentioned, in a case of a war, every male in this country in a certain range of age will be part of the army. And now is the chance to train them. We have now the chance. So there are Ukrainians that are heavily wounded that I talked to here in Berlin. And some of them were not really trained. They had a very short training and were sent into the front lines because they had quite normal jobs. And now we have the chance to at least train parts of society to be ready when it gets really serious. But again, it's all about deterrence so far. Yeah.
So intelligence services expect Russia to be ready by 2029 to launch a large-scale operation within Europe. I just want to take this back to you, Quentin, because I'm just wondering how you feel about the actual outcome. You should be pretty pleased, because it will be completely voluntary for now. Or how are young people debating this whole thing?
Well, I think a lot of people are feeling pleased now, and I just want to emphasize this. As Bundesschülerkonferenz, we never took a position whether we're pro or conscription. So we weren't fighting conscription, we weren't in favor of voluntary service or the other way around. We just said, okay, we need to be included in the process, and we need to focus on the step before young people are going to the Bundeswehr, saying, okay, we have to strengthen their resilience and we have to strengthen their education. And so I think I can speak for many young people that are now feeling good that they don't have to go to the Bundeswehr, but and that they're still voluntary. But still, I think we have to find good solutions that are focusing on my generation as a whole, as a big concept, and not just a few people that are going to the Bundeswehr voluntary. And we will have these discussions the one way or the other round. So Dobrindt proposed that we have to discuss crisis scenarios. Yeah, the Secretary of State proposed that we have to discuss these scenarios of crisis also in school, that we have to know what we have to do when there's an air alarm. And I don't know what I have to do. And actually, I'm feeling much more insecure by not knowing what to do. Instead of that, a teacher tells me what I would have to do if there's an actual alarm going on and if there's actually an attack. So we won't go around, we won't come around this debate, and it will be looked very closely from us and from other young people what will happen. But either way, we will discuss it, even though it's for now voluntary.
And the German constitution, which can only be changed by a two-third majority, it says that there can only be mandatory conscription for men. So that means that for women, it's completely on a voluntary basis for now.
Because they, with the current majorities in parliament, they're not expecting to get a majority.
Exactly,
to change the constitution, right?
So why did you, as Pupils Association, find it so hard and were unable to find a joint position on that? Women and men?
We have a very strict rule. We're commenting on youth participation and education. And this is what we also did in terms of this bill going around. But we have a lot of people that are doubting that this is a good way to make the one gender participate in the service and the other one not. I don't think this is a good way, but as Bundesschülerkonferenz, we say we are only talking about education, only talking about youth participation, which is the reason we didn't take a stand. But one thing I always highlight in my statements is young people are having less and less sex. Now, this is something you could smile about and say, why is Quentin telling this fact? But actually, this is an issue because young people between the genders are moving apart. So especially young girls are moving to the left and young males moving to the right. And if you put if you propose a bill that strengthens this dynamic of the genders in young age are moving apart, then you have an issue of creating community within my generation. So we, for now, already have an issue of creating community, of creating solidarity among us. And if you propose this bill the way it is currently, then we will have so much more issues communicating between the genders in my generation. So I have the worry that we will have a big issue between the genders with this bill. But as I said, this is my personal opinion.
Nina, the majority wouldn't be there anyway for that two-third majority you just pointed out.
No, yeah. No, it wouldn't be. And Quentin, I would just like to seize the opportunity and ask you, you just said you would be hoping for a big offensive, essentially, that would accompany this current Military Service Act so that there's more justice, essentially, between the generations as well. So aside from more investment, like you mentioned, in the buildings themselves, at schools, etc., in taking young people more seriously, what would be fair in your eyes? How could older people like us, the three of us, who are sitting here, how could the young generation feel that there is some sort of justice when it comes to our society's resilience and our capability to defend this country as well and all the freedoms?
I propose the slogan, make Germany ready for their granddaughters and grandchildren. So we have to make sure that in every aspect of the problems we currently have, there's also a contribution from the adults, and that it's not just young people. So we have to look, if we're discussing the pension topic, for example, that the demographic change is not just something that is laid out on us, but also where adults and pensioners are making contributions to solve the issue. And with regard to education, you have to invest in social workers, in school psychologists to strengthen our resilience, which also pays and contributes to defensibility of Germany. So you have to make a big investment into education, big investment into resilience and mental health. And also in every aspect, we're discussing generational justice. Include us and see where's the part where we contribute and where's the part where the others contribute. And if I'm looking at this discussion around pension funds, then I'm doubting that the elderly are currently making a big contribution, and I'm stating that it's currently on us, and just totally on us, to manage the demographic change. And this is something that is just not okay. And I think this could be something that you would be able to solve if you invite young people to the table, because if we would have been there, then such compromises wouldn't have been made.
I think it's really interesting that you are basically asking for a breakdown of those silos of how politics actually works. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking from experience here that these issues are treated separately. I find it very interesting mm-hmm. that you want to kind of do an intergenerational bargaining, which is interdisciplinary, which frankly, there's no setup for that.
And many people are placing their hopes in the National Security Council mm-hmm. because they're saying, if mm. not there, you know, we've given ourselves this new forum. So, but it's too early to say whether the National Security Council will treat these issues in that way, as you just said.
But what has just been avoided is another clash, because the first try at having this new conscription model failed because there was a compromise made that would have meant that there's a lottery, particularly if there's not enough volunteers. Now, this time around, politicians have opted for a voluntary model, defining corridors towards those 360,000 that are needed by 260,000, yeah, by 2035. Mm-hmm. Matthias Miersch, who is from the Social Democrat camp, he is the head of the parliamentary group there. He got asked, what will you do and what kind of compromise will you be able to decide if you don't get enough recruits? Let's just take a listen to what he said.
There are two main phases. The first phase is the voluntary phase, and we're convinced that this voluntary phase is sufficient to meet demand. And then there is also a clear provision in the law that if this does not happen, the Bundestag must deal with the issue again from scratch.
So, Marcel, will there be enough recruits on a voluntary basis from your experience? What's your prediction?
We have a lot of factors that are quite attractive currently already. Yes, so comradeship, teamwork, qualifications, language, whatever. And now we make the Bundeswehr more attractive. That's the plan. Yeah. So even young recruits get more money. And as you said, they get also some more money for their driver's license, etc., if they are willing to go for some month more on duty. But generally, we as an association think that this is a good start and the numbers will rise a little bit. But we are not convinced that we will reach the 260,000 plus all the reservists that we need on top. So, as I said, a good first step. And we also know that every 6 months, the Minister of Defense has to report. Yeah, he has to say, hey, this is our plan and this is what happens. And we hope that the attention is high enough to see what's happening on the eastern flank, what Russia is doing and how we are growing. And that if the disconnect is too high, that we will really immediately talk about that on a political level and also on a broad level in society, and then make very fast decisions, yeah, because it's, again, I stress it all the time, it's very serious. And some of the debates that I see in every part of our country don't show me that really everyone in our country is convinced or knows it.
Yeah, but I think the Bundeswehr itself and the German Defense Ministry also has to do its homework, right, Marcel? I mean, we both know that yes. there are volunteers out there who, after 8 months of not hearing back yes. from the Bundeswehr, simply turn their backs on the institution and say, look, if you don't even answer my letter where mm-hmm. I've explicitly stated I was trained on tanks not that long ago, do you still need me? And mm. nobody answers them. Then, of course, they're going to go and look for a different job. Yes. And these are exactly the kind of people that Boris Pistorius says he needs, right? So a lot of homework there. And we heard from sure. the Green opposition that they said, OK, there's a big risk in this Military Service Act now that essentially exactly those people in the Bundeswehr who do the recruiting and trying to, answer those emails that come from volunteers, that they're just going to lean back and say, well, great, you know, now they are going to come.
People will come rolling in. Yeah.
And I don't have to improve my own structures.
So a whole new issue, actually an internal issue, which also crossed into the whole bureaucracy debate here in Germany as well. But I want to close with you, Quentin, because what do you think? Do you think that this proposal that's on the table will succeed in motivating enough young people, particularly young men, of course, who have to reply, but also women, to voluntarily say, I want to serve?
Short answer, no. I don't think that. I think you
great, bye.
We agree.
I think you would do well in organizing a narrative. A narrative that says, okay, you contribute, but we ignore you for your contribution. We make sure that you have everything it needs to design a good future in Germany. And this is what the current government fails to do. As I said, it would be the right decision to, while presenting this compromise today, also standing in front of the cameras and proposing a big offensive and saying, okay, we fight for you and with you, and you do your service, and we also take you serious in that one. So this chance was left out.
You know what the big difference is? You look at the Scandinavian models of recruiting young people for the army, and they say of themselves, I am part of the elite.
Yes.
And I know that my society values what I'm doing. That is why I volunteer.
They don't
and
need
Norwegian
a lottery,
recruits,
right?
Not,
the
exactly,
lottery is a theoretical thing
it.
There. They don't need it.
But it is because they're being taken seriously.
Yes.
Norwegian recruits are the ones who are guarding Norway's Russia border. You know, that's unthinkable. And they say to you, well, you know, my country believes in me, my country trusts in me. But of course, you've got that issue with a patriotism debate here in Germany.
I'll let you have the final word on what you're going to take away from this discussion to the recruiting process.
The first thing, very important, it's very important to discuss, even with the younger generation. That's what they were missing in the last years. And I mean, Quentin maybe is a role model for others who start to, I don't know, flood media to show that they want to be part. And one additional thing I want to say, it's not only about enhancing security. I'm really convinced that the Bundeswehr is also, to do a service in the Bundeswehr is a chance to strengthen national security, national unity. That's what I want to say. And that you can let a common sense of purpose grow in our country.
But we had this discussion before with Sweden in particular. It's just a very different cultural context. And I'm just wondering what's faster, recruiting differently or changing a cultural context? And that
it doesn't have to be ideological, right? I mean, you can also sign contracts very specifically with private companies and say, look, are you willing to give us a couple of people in their 30s for 2 months a year? Yes, and the question is not the money, right? That is the big question mark for me.
Society
for once, we're
ready.
Not debating, do we have enough money to pay for this? We are debating, is that something that we want to do? Yes or no? How shy can we afford to be? So why don't you just go to private business?
I really think that our politicians expecting a society that is disconnected to our military, it's not the way anymore. So society is not, let's say, the problem. It's not the issue anymore. If you see studies, 2/3 majority says pro conscript army, pro more money for the Bundeswehr, pro Veterans Day, etc. So society is ready, but our politicians still in the older thinking processes of national socialism, all the dark times. Yeah, they do not really, I don't know, feel comfortable with this topic still.
So one final question to Quentin then, though. Because you looked bemused as we were having this final discussion here.
Amongst old people.
What would you like to add to that? And do you want to break any news? I know you started your studies. Do you have any plans of going into politics?
Into the army would be another possibility. I'm just saying.
Well, actually, I'm thinking about joining military forces at least for 6 months, just to make like the ground education in the service, and also contribute there, and then serve as a reservist after my bachelor's degree or my master's degree. This is just something I think about. And one key takeaway, I think we managed to drop in the media and also here in the past weeks and months is that you have to make politics with young people. You need young people. Those are the ones who are fixing all these issues you couldn't fix today. So you have to let us join the table and play with the big guys. And so it's I don't want to be in such participation programs where a lot of young people are working something out that is just being ignored in politics. I want to sit at the table where everybody else from the expert sides is, and then discuss on face to face what we have to do. And I want to agree to Marcel, because I think the understanding that we have a different security situation, that is something that is spread enormously among the society, but also among my generation. We have seen the pictures from Ukraine, from Gaza as well, on our mobile devices. Nobody was as close as us because we're so influenced by social media that these dramatic pictures and videos were spread all over the place in my generation. So we're having this understanding that we have to change something, and that security isn't something that will just be maintained without good military forces. But we have to find a way to get young people joining it and thinking, this is also something, I'm fighting a state that also fights for me. Let's put it that way. And yeah, I think keeping up the good communication will help. And sometimes there are unusual alliances. And as Marcel entered the room on Monday and in the Bundestag, thinking I would be totally against conscription and I would argue against conscription, we could discuss it, and we've seen that our position wasn't this far away. So I think we can find good solutions by taking everybody with us, and then we will hopefully find better answers in the future, maybe with me as a politician as well. We'll see about that.
Okay, Quentin, it was fantastic having you at the table, as you were at the table at that hearing in the German Bundestag, the German Parliament, on Monday, which was on the very issue of conscription. So thank you much for joining us today. Also to you, Marcel, and Nina, of course, as always. And that was our Berlin briefing, your briefing on the new conscription model here in Germany that has not been passed as a law yet, but there is agreement by the German governing coalition, so it's expected to go through. It's voluntary for now. If you have any further questions, comments, want anything in particular for us to address in coming editions, do drop us a note just below here in the comments section if there are any questions you have. And don't forget our Berlin briefing newsletter that comes out every week and keeps you up to date. For now, thank you very much.